Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a show about clean tech, renewable energy, and the ways this rapidly growing industry is changing how we think about power. The Wisconsin Energy Broadcast is a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Now, here's your host, Heather Allen and Nan Fay.
All right. Hi. Well, I'm very excited to be joined by two guests. Sam Danieski, he's the program manager at Renew Wisconsin, and Antonio Butts, he is the executive director of Walnut Way based in Milwaukee. And can I have you both just introduce yourselves a little bit and tell us about what you do?
Well, good morning. I'm Antonio Butts, as Heather shared, executive director of Walnut Way Conservation Corporation. Walnut Way is a resident-led neighborhood organization on the near north side of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, probably about 2 miles from the heart of downtown Milwaukee. This year actually is the 20th year of operation of our organization. So we turned 20 years old in October this year.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. In our early days, you know, we started out as a very, you know, close-knit, small neighborhood group. But over the past 20 years, we've emerged to grow and to operate more like a community development organization. And so our roots are really in, you know, community and neighbor engagement, and but primarily by working in conservation efforts, whether it's reclaiming vacant lots and creating opportunities as it relates to climate change in general. But our work is very much about helping our residents and the broader Milwaukee community eliminate their barriers to wellness, work, and wealth.
That's great. That's a great mission. And Sam, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I am the program manager, the solar program manager with Renew Wisconsin. Renew does work across the state on education, policy, and programs as well. And I much more fit into the last category. So I manage a few solar programs with Renew Wisconsin, one of which is the Solar for Good program. And that program helps nonprofits and other mission-based organizations across the state go solar. So we offer solar panels to organizations that want to go solar but need help getting started. And that's basically what I do.
And is that how you two first met?
Yes, it is. We were definitely a benefactor in being in partnership with Renew, and it helped activate our first solar array 2 years ago. We put 5 kilowatts of solar on the Walnut Way Center, our primary space where we have our administrative offices. And with that support from Renew, we were able to get that across the goal line. And so our next effort is we're about to add battery storage to our solar array. And so this might offer another opportunity for us to advance a project together.
Oh, that is very exciting. So why don't we start at the beginning? What inspired you, Antonio, and your organization to install solar on your facility?
Well, the whole sustainable movement, it just provides this really clear pathway that hits on a lot of the different challenges that communities face, whether it's workforce development challenges, whether it's challenges associated with standard of living and the ability to cut the cost on expenses, whether it's related to just in general the overall quality of life in the neighborhood and ensuring that the community is keeping pace with the changes that are happening generally in society as it relates to, again, climate resilience and just overall sustainability. And so it was just very important for us to make sure that we embarked on this pathway and to start to build our capacity and learning and also share that with our residents, because, again, we believe that it has this economic impact and social impact that provides mobility in a way that offers the residents a higher quality of life and the overall community, you know, just a more cohesiveness in a way that residents can take ownership of these important aspects of the infrastructure in the neighborhood.
That's really interesting. And I saw the photos from when you celebrated the solar panels. It looked like quite a community event.
Mm-hmm.
You were there too, Sam, right?
I was. It was fantastic. But Antonio can definitely speak to it much better than I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really big deal. I talked a little bit about the 5 kilowatts that we did on the Walnut Waste Center, but in that particular project, we actually did about 25 kilowatts, and we did a solar array on Alice's Garden, a well-known urban garden in the area. We also did it at Fondy Food Center, the largest open-air farmers market in the community too, as well. And so we all came together with that support from Renew and also the Institute for Sustainable Communities in order to lift that project. And so, again, when we think about making an impact on the broader community in general, we've always tried to focus our efforts in a collective way. And so that's how that project got done in partnership with Renew and Institute for Sustainable Communities.
Well, that's great. So really, we're talking about three unique but related and connected solar projects that the community had a hand in getting off the ground and celebrating and is benefiting from.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Well, tell us for a little bit about the food market and Alice's Garden.
Well, Alice's Garden is an urban garden that's led by Venus Williams, a very important stakeholder and leader in this community, one of the holders of the history of the community. And so several years ago, she started that initiative and that effort and has been carrying it forth ever since. More specifically, it offers residents an opportunity to have individual plots in the garden and then collectively work together on just the opportunities as it relates to marketing and generating income from what's produced at the market, whether it's the fresh produce or if it's actually turning that fresh produce into different products that could be used for health and wellness in general. And the Fondy Farmers Market, again, is the largest open air market in the city of Milwaukee, about 28,000 square feet. And so it's the place where it's an economic hub for the community, a place where our local farmers and our local, you know, micro entrepreneurs come together to basically sell the fruits and vegetables, but then also the artisans and artists come together as well. And so it's just the place has this amazing vibe on it and entertainment that takes place at the site. And that market's been around for about 100 years. It's a real hub in the neighborhood.
So Sam, I wanted to ask you if a nonprofit organization like the three that Antonio is describing are interested in going solar and they need a little help with some resources for the project, how do they find out about Solar for Good? What do they need to know and how do they get started?
It takes a champion within the organization, much like Antonio, to get these projects done. And what I always tell people, so I go out to communities all over the state to not only talk about solar, but to talk about the Solar for Good program specifically. And I say that if you are a member of an organization and you would like to see your organization, you know, do solar or, you know, be more energy efficient or help with climate change or whatever your interest is, if you want your organization to do that and you're looking for a champion and you can't find one, that champion is probably you. So it really is important. Like I said, I cannot overstate enough how important those internal champions are because they really get these projects done. Now, from a purely administrative sort of way, we have lots of online materials for groups that are just getting started. We have everything from smaller grants that help with some of the technical assistance. Maybe you need an engineering review. Maybe you need a proposal. We have things like that. We have a webpage on our Renew Wisconsin website also that will list all the solar contractors across the state. So if you're interested in solar and you're listening to this, my first suggestion to you would be to reach out to a solar contractor, get a proposal from them. Usually they're free, they're included, and just get an idea of what it will cost for your organization to do solar. You really can't make those decisions until you know exactly the X's and O's of what that's going to come down to. And then from there, like I said, we help out on a multitude of different things, not just from the grants themselves, but also we act as a consultant as well. We can help. I think the phrase we use is push these projects over the finish line. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it's not as easily compartmentalized as it would like to be. But I think the first thing that I would tell folks to do, if you're interested in solar for your church or for some other organization or nonprofit that you're a part of, just go to our Solar for Good website. I can actually list it right here. It's renewwisconsin.org/solarforgood. That's really just the best place to go to get started.
Great. That's great. Thank you. Okay. Well, Antonio, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about how the community has felt about the solar panels, and how did the conversations get started about looking at a battery system for your organization?
Yeah, it's well received, and many residents are very interested. And as the cost for solar continues to drop, we hope and expect that more opportunities for residents to be able to install solar on their properties, that we'll be able to make those available and partner with folks in a way that provides the resource so that more people can actually get involved and participate. just in general, though, with folks, they really just believe that and understand that's the direction that things are going in as it relates to, community resilience and overall sustainability. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the promise and the potential that it has for other opportunities as it relates to economic and just the development of the community overall. I think that as we go forward and continue to educate the community on the merits of solar and the direction and the emergence of battery storage, that we're going to start to move to a place where we really are focused on developing these small microgrids in the neighborhood where this infrastructure is really arranged, set up, and led in a way by the neighborhoods and communities that it's actually in. And so when we think about the long-term vision, those are the prospects that we're looking at. We're looking at how do we develop this microgrid where more residents have solar and we have battery storage hubs, and how do we get into developing mesh internet networks so that we could also have an impact on the disparities as associated with internet access. Right. So all of our work has this focus and this angle towards all of this promise as it relates to unlocking all of the potential in the sustainability field.
Well, that is really exciting. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm thinking of some other guests we've actually had on this show on the Wisconsin Energy broadcast that might be able to help with some of those conversations. But that's just wonderful to hear. That's just wonderful to hear. Thank you for all you do. Awesome. So I'd like to jump back to Sam, and I know you just issued a press release about the most recent announcement of grants or donations of panels that are going to community organizations around Wisconsin. Can you just talk a little bit about the types of organizations that most recently received approvals for Solar for Good panels and what the next cycles of funding would be like?
Yeah, so we have, historically helped out organizations really of all shapes and sizes. It started out mostly we're issuing grants to houses of worship, but we've since expanded to every kind of organization from veteran services to animal shelters even now. And we've also done some work with some of the local housing authorities, which I particularly like because it really demonstrates how these solar panels can directly go to benefit the people that need it the most. And it really just shows how scalable solar energy can be. I received an email just earlier this week from a school in Uganda that wants to do solar, and they were looking for help, and they just happened to come across my name, which was very great to hear. So it really just shows just how great, you know, solar can be. But yeah, this last round, we received a few applications, and we approved grants for two or three churches. We also received a grant from two schools, I believe, another organization in La Crosse that does work for adults with needs and adult education. And then we received another kind of cluster of grants for solar projects on affordable housing in Dodge County as well. So the list of organizations continues to grow. We now have 81 nonprofits across the state that are going to install over 100 solar systems. And those 107 solar systems will equal over 4 megawatts of solar electricity, which, if I do my math real quick here, I believe amounts to almost 800 houses worth of solar electricity. So 800 average size homes, I should say. So it's really exciting just to see, you know, not only the number of nonprofits grow, but also the types as well that grow as we kind of get more word of mouth out about this program across the state.
Right, right. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that the program is growing. And as of course, always a disclaimer that I am the interim executive director of Renew Wisconsin. So I also hear at the office that the program is growing. But it's so nice to get the on the ground feedback from you, Antonio, on how it's worked for your organization. And it's very inspiring that that Walnut Way is thinking of expanding into batteries. Mm-hmm. Have you found that you're saving any money with the solar system, or are your partners at Alice's Garden or the Fondy Market saving any money on electric bills?
We know that in the first year at the Walnut Way Center, we had roughly a savings of nearly about 10%. And so we really got excited about it. Our board got excited about it. And again, it just offers this promise, but that promise, to Sam's point, it does. It takes work, right? And it takes buy-in, and it takes those financial resources to really move the needle on this. And so I think that you know, with so much awareness being built around it all, as we continue to grow our capacity in the space, we really want to build, you know, our technical skills to a space where we're actually able to be installers and gain the expertise around battery storage and installers of those components, as well as a workforce development initiative.
Right.
And so, again, our focus is on this resilience, also through the lens of resilience and what's our community's ability to emerge from, you know, public emergencies, climate, you know, emergencies and so forth. And so with that focus, we understand now how we're starting to define what resilience means to us. And so resilience does mean things like for the long term, it does mean things like having energy storage hub. So as I talked about having a microgrid earlier, and resilience does mean having, you know, alternatives from the current internet service providers and our ability to drive and manage our own internet, our own mesh networks is an important part of resilience. Mm-hmm. Resilience is also, you know, it's built within the community and individual residents socially as well, just in building their knowledge and capacity, again, around sustainability and how in individual households, what steps could be taken, whether it's using energy efficient lighting or different other behavior changes that could have a major impact on individual households and the community economically, but then, you know, the entire world globally, as we think about what each of us can do on an individual level. So when you ask me that, it makes me think about our long-term vision and how important it is to continue to cast that and drive towards that, but then also to be able on the ground to ensure that people know what they can do individually in their home to make a difference too.
That's so exciting. And so are you finding the folks in your community are looking at, you know, exploring becoming solar installers and looking at clean energy jobs?
There's a huge amount of interest. And so we need to connect that interest to more opportunities.
Right.
And so in partnership with MREA, the
Midwestern Renewable Energy Association.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the acronym.
And
others, we know that we have the makings of a strong pipeline. And
Great.
So we need to attach programming to it and just make the programming more affordable and accessible and more
right.
to a broader community. And then that way, we know that, again, we'll be able to move the needle in that aspect from the workforce development and economic development perspective of the opportunity.
Oh, that's just great to hear. And, you know, so the Clean Energy Jobs Report just came out on today. We're recording this on Thursday, June 25th. And it showed that there have been some job losses, but the majority of that job loss has actually been in energy efficiency directly related to the coronavirus. Before the coronavirus, jobs in those sectors, all clean energy jobs, were growing. Tiny, tiny, tiny job loss in solar installation, but solar installation has largely been moving forward at the same pace that it was moving forward before the coronavirus. There's a lot of businesses and homeowners who are still going solar. So mm-hmm. what's been very nice to see about that particular job is that it's been itself, that job has been resilient to the economic and the health changes that we've all faced in the last couple of months.
Solar obviously has been around for a while. I think that it's still a ground floor opportunity.
Yes.
It's one of those great equalizers and one of those pathways that allow us to do something that has a cumulative collective good, but it also really accelerates the opportunities for communities that may have been historically excluded or otherwise. And so,
right.
and so the solar and the whole sustainability movement to me offers just a tremendous amount of promise for all of those important things that bring us together as a global community. And
yeah.
so the more that we all buy into it and start to shift our behaviors and interest and lift it up, I just have that belief that the better off we'll all be. And it offers that to me primarily because it provides a space for each individual, each home to take some ownership in that space. And so and in doing that, you know, that comes with this sense of pride, this sense of efficacy that just translates beyond the existing generation onto future generations. And so we know historically we may have, you know, made some choices in terms of the energy sources that we use that may not be in our best interest for the long term and which has had various impacts on generations. And so now as we really think about how do we not, you know, think short term and sell out, if you will, you know, for short-term goals and miss out on these real strong long-term opportunities. It's just a very important space that it seems like that we're all in and moving into. And so I'm very excited about the promise that it provides. But I do know and agree with what we're saying that it's going to take a tremendous amount of partnership to do it and sharing of resources and providing opportunity and creating space for folks to participate.
Yeah, I completely agree. If I can just, I would just like to add something real quick. I think Antonio made a number of great points there, especially the one talking about, you know, solar being a great equalizer, right? This is clearly an area where there is room for economic growth. And we've seen this, even this year, you know, even in a pandemic, we've seen that, you know, more homeowners than ever are interested in solar power, and other clearly organizations as well are also interested in solar. And we definitely need more workers everywhere in our rural areas and our urban areas too. In fact, this is one area that Renew has tried to help out in. We've tried to help get some more funding to train, you know, the solar workers of tomorrow to help out with that. And another thing that I wanted to mention too is just circling back to our Solar for Good program specifically. So this year, we actually, with this last round, I should say, we just cleared the $1 million mark in terms of the amount of grants and the dollar amount of solar panels that we've given out. And for that $1 million that has been invested, we will generate well over $9 million worth of solar projects. So for every $1 of Solar for Good that we put in to the community, we get $8 back. And I think that is something that's absolutely remarkable, that just a small little program can generate so much economic activity within this state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Economic activity and then also long-term savings on these really valuable nonprofits on their operating expenses to help them drive that money back into missions and just serving their community. So
these organizations are already showing us in less than 2 years what these projects mean to them. We have we had a church in Oshkosh that had agreed to take part of the savings from their solar array and donate it to a women's shelter just right across the street. Another example, we did a solar array for a church here in Madison. And those members saw the benefits of solar so clearly that now they have decided that they are going to start some of their own funding as well. And they're calling their program Array It Forward because they are seeing the impacts, both, you know, financial and environmental, that solar can have. And they want to spread the word even more. They want even more communities to have it. So it really has just an exponential effect socially as to how these projects gain momentum and how they sort of just become ingrained in the mentality of our society.
Yep, I agree. I think, you know, we're going through some, we could describe it as many things, but I'll just describe it as a cultural shift. And it's happening sort of across these primary areas, as you know, in our work that we all do together, the economic, the environmental end, and the social end of things. And I couldn't agree more with Sam on just in terms of all of the potentials and the ROI, the return on investment that's received, not only in real hard dollars, but in social capital.
Yeah. You know, it's been a difficult time for a lot of people, and I am so inspired by our conversation today. I really want to thank you, Antonio, for your leadership at Walnut Way, and thank you, Sam, for all your work helping to bring solar to communities around Wisconsin and to nonprofit organizations that really can benefit from the community building and the energy savings that they get. So thank you both for your time. This has been a great conversation.
Well, thank you, Heather. Thank you, Sam. I really want you to know that, you know, from our entire team here, we really appreciate being in partnership with you all. We really appreciate knowing that we could call on you all for guidance. And, you know, we know that we're just at the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's possible. And so we want to continue in our partnership together and to pave the way for folks who haven't gotten on the road yet and open up new pathways for new opportunities and continue to scale out the work. So just genuinely, thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. I'm your host, Heather Allen, and our guests tonight were Antonio Butts, Executive Director of Walnut Way, and Sam Danieski of Renew Wisconsin. Thank you, as always, to Shali Pittman, our News and Public Affairs Director, who is running everything from inside the studio while we're all quarantined at home. Thank you for listening, and have a great Independence Day.